February 19th, 2020, Brachot 47. Enjoy.
No, it's okay. It's good to be caught up. Okay, so we'll start the last line on Mem Vav Amud Beit. Okay, all the rules, you know, how to eat a meal, how to lean, and who goes first, Maim Rishonim, Maim Achronim, etiquette, the difference between the Jewish people and the Persians people. So the Gemara continues on the similar theme. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Mechavdim Lo B'Drachim V'Lo B'Ksharim. You don't honor people on the path. In other words, the most distinguished person, you let them enter the room first, you hold the door open from them. When you're traveling, we don't have these laws. Either because it doesn't display honor. In other words, travel, everybody should go as they normally go, or we can't expect a person to honor when they're traveling. Below Biksharim, and not when you cross a bridge. Below Biyadayim Mizuhamot. That's our connection, not to, dirty hands. In other words, Maim Achronim. You let whoever gets there first to wash. You don't have to let somebody wash. Again, either because his hands are too dirty, we don't expect him to wait. That's asking too much. Or that's not the place to display honor. Okay. Ravin v'Abai havekazdei b'orcha kadmei. Okay, so Ravin and Abai, we're traveling on the road. Kadmei chamrei de Ravin l'Abai. So Ravin's donkey went first. And even I think we all recognize that Abaye was probably a greater scholar than Ravin. Ravin's not as famous as Abaye. So he says, "Velo amar le nezel mar." And Ravin didn't tell Abaye to go first, which is understandable based on what we learned. But Abaye apparently was not aware of this teaching, or he disagreed with it. Amar midasali chaimi rabana mirava. So Ravin had moved from Israel to Babel, or he went back and forth, but he lived in Babel. So he says, "Me the Salikaim Rabbanan." When this rabbi left the West, left Israel, he became very haughty. Gusli Bey, he became very haughty. He's arrogant. He goes first before I go first. It's interesting. The rabbis, they're like regular human beings, and in many ways. In other words, that's obvious, but. In other words, they were, they wanted honor sometimes. And okay, so Kimat
Lepin. This ranking of the people so obvious. The ranking, you could see
Machloikas isn't. Right. In other words, we would think a great rabbi, what's the big deal? Who cares? But right, so that was my point. That you see the humanity of the sages a little bit. So whether I don't know, I'm assuming that Abaye was perhaps, he might have been much older. That I don't know. In other words, so it would have been obvious if he was older, his teacher, which that I don't know. Okay. Kimate lepatcha de beknishta. When they passed by a shul, amrale neomar. So now Ravin, basically Abaye misunderstood Ravin. Ravin said, "Abaye, you go first." Amarle, it's like a funny story. Yeah, I don't know if these stories are literally true. Ba'ad hashta lav mar ana. Until now, I'm not a master. Master, go first. Oh, what? Now you want to give me a little bit of honor. What about until now? Amar le. So he said to him, "Hachi Amar Rav Yochanan." We learned. We learned. Maybe Abai didn't learn it. Now, Ravin was a student, or he had heard it from Rav Yochanan. We realized Rav Yochanan is much older than, probably died 100 years before Abai was born, or close to that. So in other words, Ravin is bringing the teachers of Rav Yochanan, the teachings of Rav Yochanan to Abai. Maybe it's a little less than 100 years, but it's a few generations. Slightly different teaching. We don't than what we had before. You only honor people in a house that has a mezuzah. The eat bay mezuzah, in other words, that's an honorable house, like a bathroom. Or a garage or something that doesn't have a mezuzah. In other words, that's not a place to take of honor. The lady in the mezuzah low. The Gemara says, hold on a second. Elam yata beit knesset or beit medrash. The lady in the mezuzah. So the halach is that a shul does not need a mezuzah. I believe it's only from the time of the Maharam of Rutenberg. He had a dream, so they started putting mezuzahs in shul. You don't need a mezuzah here. It says, uchtav tamam zo beitecha. uvishrach in your house. In God's house, you don't need a mezuzah. So that's the real halacha. The Gemara didn't have, in the time of the Gemara, they didn't have mezuzahs in shuls. Today, I think I said, in the Middle Ages, they started putting on mezuzahs and shuls. Anyway, so if you're going to tell me mezuzahs on those shuls, they didn't mean it like that, so literally, that if it requires a technically mezuzah. So, hachinami dey mechavni, so you don't have to honor someone in shul, that's the place with the greatest honor. Ela'ema bepetach ha-ra'ui le-mezuzah. The place that would have been worthy. In other words, it's not a dirty place. A place that could have been worthy of mezuzah, there you have to honor people. I didn't honor you on the path. That's not a place where we give honor when we're getting our horses in the dirt road. That's not where we give somebody honor. I'm reviewed a braid the Rav Shmuel Bar Shelet Mishmeid the Rav. Okay. Eina Masubim Rashim Lacho Klum Ashitom Abatzeh. So this is, I think a lot of people know this. It's the proper way to eat when, let's say, on Friday night. So the host passed out bread, but sometimes he doesn't eat right away. He's busy passing out the bread. So you're not supposed to eat until the botseya, the one who cuts the bread. And we learned yesterday that should be the balabayit. So he'll cut you a nice piece of bread. You don't have to feel bad taking the food yourself. You have to wait till he eats, and then you can eat. Yati Rav Safra, the kamar, litom itmar. So Rav Safra said... it didn't say litom klum, he can't eat, he says litom itmar. So the Gemara says, he's just repeating the same thing, lamai nafkamina. Every once in a while the Gemara does something like this. So the Gemara says, you're right, he didn't say anything new. Shachayv adam lomer b'shom rabo. He was just repeating it in the language. A person is supposed to say over the Torah in the language in which they heard it from him. So he heard the language used litom as opposed to lecho klum. So use that language. Okay. But the bottom line is you can't eat until the host eats, which is just basic, you know, basic derech eretz. Tana Rabbanan, shnai mamtin zeh b'zeh b'ka'ara. If two people are eating together, they're eating from a plate, whatever, then in the cafeteria, they should wait for each other. I assume that means before they leave, no? Right? One shouldn't leave without the other. One shouldn't bench without the other, whatever. Shlosha ein mamtinin. If there are three people, then you don't have to wait. Then already it's, you don't have to wait for everybody. You're finished, you can leave. That's what it appears to what the Gemara is saying. Habotseya, the one who cuts the bread, who poshet yado yabotchila. So he should eat first. The one who cuts the bread should be the one who literally sticks out his hand and he eats first. That's what a lot of people do. They cut the bread, they take a small piece themselves, and then they pass the bread down to everybody else. But he doesn't have to. He wants to give honor to somebody at the table, his teacher, or some person he thinks he's more worthy of honor than he is. In other words, it's not a requirement that he has to eat first, according to this idea, but you can give the food first to somebody else. You should be the one to give out the food, but you can give it to who you want first. Rabbi Barbar Chana, Have a asik, he comes up a lot. Rav Bar Bar Chana means he was, first of all, I assume that Chana is his grandmother. It just the name is a strange name. Rabba Bar Bar Chana, the son of Chana. So presumably there was some issue with the father, and he's named, and you give the grandmother's name, not the grandfather's name. It's a little bit unusual, but anyways. Rav Bar Bar Chana, have a asik le librei be Rav Shmuel. He was involved, I think, I also, we had this expression the other day, I think involved in the wedding of the son, Lepre, of Rav Shmuel, Bar Rav Katina. Okay. Kadim V'yativ, it was his son's wedding being held at the house of Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Katina. Okay. Kadim V'yativ, V'kamatne Le Lepre. So he, while they're getting ready for the wedding, while the photographer is taking the pictures, you know, and they're setting up the flowers, he's learning Torah. He's teaching his son, Kamat Lebre. So the son's going to be a balabas. The son's going to invite guests over. He's going to live on his own. So he says, Eina botseya rashay libtsoa ad sheikh la main mipia onim. It's very interesting. You say, Baruchat Hashem, okavichalam hamotzilech minarets. Then you cut the bread. But you should wait till everybody says amen. Like when they duchen, when the kohen duchens, so the chazan, you're supposed to say yivarechacha, and then wait till they say. And then yishmerecha, everybody answers amen. The chazan shouldn't start ya'er until you say amen, until the amen is from the kahal. So he says the same thing here. He shouldn't cut the bread. It doesn't take so long to say amen mipia onim from the people who are there. Rav Chista mar mipi rav onim. You don't have to wait for everybody. As long as the majority of the people on Sarmenia, how long are different? How, you know, how much is the difference between the first and last person say amen? Amar le Rabbi Barchama maishna ruba. Why do you need the majority? The akata lo kalya kalya bracha. Because until people answer amen, the bracha is not over. It's interesting. Well, what the Gemara is saying is amen is actually part of the bracha. You can't count cut until the bracha is over. So the Gemara says miyuta nami lo kalya bracha. So even if there are a few people who have an answer amen, and they're relying on your bread and your hamotzi, so why don't you wait for them? Again, it's the Tircha de Tzibura line. The Gemara didn't use the language we discussed yesterday. Armalei Shani Omer, Kolon Amen, Yoteri Daino Elatoa. A guy who says Amen for 5 seconds, I don't have to wait for him. He's making a mistake. In other words, don't drive me crazy with your Amens. I'm not going to wait for you. It's the extra 3 seconds takes. That's too much of a problem. You don't have to wait. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis learned. You have to answer a proper amen. So the way Rashi explains amen chatufa means you mispronounce it. You don't do the amen properly. Say amen or and the ketufa is you sort of don't say the nun. You slur the words. Basically, you're not saying amen properly. Amen yitoma, an orphan amen, means you didn't actually hear the bracha. You heard other people answering amen, so you answer amen because everybody else answers amen. So Rashi raises the famous question. I think Rashi and Tosfot, I think, raised the question. There was, but by the way, did you see in the paper this week? This week they had a big dedication of shul. Where was it? In Cairo. It was big news. I didn't read the articles, mind you. I just saw the headlines. They dedicated a shul. It's the first time in, you know, probably since before 1948. So they had so many people in the shul in I think it was in Cairo, a beautiful shul. The shul was originally built in 1354, the same location, but it was, I guess, the building that they have now, which was built on another shul, was built in the 1800s, and apparently they spent like $20 million or something. The Egyptian government paid for it to refurbish it, and they had about 200 people. It was in the paper this week. So, which paper? I probably saw in the Times of Israel or Jerusalem, but I don't think it made it to the New York Times, although it might have. A story like this could bake somewhere. I'm pretty sure I saw it in the Jewish newspapers. So there was a famous shul in Alexandria, the Gemara talks about. The shul was so big, the people couldn't hear the chazan, and they didn't have any microphones and whatever. So they couldn't hear the chazan. So the guy would stand in the middle of the shul, and he would wave a flag. So people would know to answer amen. So isn't that amen yitoma? You don't hear that amen. So he says, no, that's a little bit different because they know. They just can't hear. In other words, they know what they're going to do when they hear. But a guy walks in shul, he hears people answer amen. He doesn't know what's flying. And he just says, amen, that doesn't count. Okay, so that's amen yitoma. It doesn't have a parent. It doesn't have the bracha associated. Okay, v'lo yizrach bracha mipiv. You know, when you say a blessing, don't say it so quickly that you want to get it over with. Say it, you know, nice and properly. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai says, Kola one amen yitoma. This is like wild. Whoever answers amen yitoma, you banav yitomim. In other words, you should drop dead. Your children should be orphans. That means you should die. It's like, obviously, it's a play on words, but it's like, it's harif. So I'm imagining when rabbis, again, these are exaggerated statements. And probably there was some problem in Ben Azai's time. People were entering amen properly, so he wanted to talk about the importance of amen. I don't know how else to explain it. Chatufa, if he says it too quickly, yichtefu yamav. We should quickly take away his days. Ketufa, a similar idea, yichtefu yamav. His days should be shortened. B'chol amarich v'amen. See, it's interesting. Before we said you shouldn't say amen too long. So it could be this Gemara disagrees. It could be they're in disagreement. And this is okay. Or there's long and there's long. It's hard to know, right? Very often. So, because it says, Kola marich ba amen. If you say amen for a long time, marichin lo yamav, which sounds like you should say it like for, You know, amen, you know.
This is the deal, you'd be extending it for that.
Right, but obviously it doesn't mean that whenever the Gemara, like the Gemara says, you say Ashrei three times a day, you're guaranteed the world to come. It doesn't mean if you say Ashrei, that's not what it means. It means if you live Potech, if you live Ashrei, if you live all these things, the Gemara is never, people read these literally, they don't make any sense because they don't make any sense in a literal sense. But here they're stressing the importance of amen. Okay, Rav Shmuel have a yatve besuda. So Rav and Shmuel, we're sitting. We're about 15 lines from the bottom, 20 lines from the bottom. Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Rav and Shmuel, we're sitting at a meal. Ata Rav Simi Barchia. So Rav Simi comes in, he joins them. Havi Kamasari Bachel. This happens all the time. He started to eat. Now, what was the problem? Is that the first two people had finished their meal, and the third person. The question is, can they do a mezumen? So Amar Le Rav. So Rav said, Rav and Shmuel said, Matatach, let's do for him Bahadan. Can we include him in our mezumin? Can we make that's the proper way to bench with the mezumin? Anachlinanam, we've already eaten, we've already finished eating, and he ate, so we can't include him. The three people there has to be overlap in the meal. So Amar Le Shmuel, so Shmuel said, not so fast. It's true we finished eating, that's only because they don't have food. If they bring out cheesecake, we'll continue eating. Amarle might do this and say cheesecake. Ardile vigozle, I assume lamb chops or something. Thing of, I'm sorry?
Truffles.
Truffles. What's that, a chocolate, no?
Truffle. No, it's mushroom.
Mushroom. Oh, mushroom. Don't they have like truffles and chocolates,
yeah,
no?
That's another kind of truffle.
That's another kind of truffle. I know. Why?
Some truffles, like they grow on the ground. Like they're
yeah. Very, that's what they're talking about here.
Yeah.
They're very expensive. Okay, there you go. Gozal, I mean, it sounds like lamb chop, no? What does he say that means? Gozal.
Young pigeons.
Yeah, young pigeons. Okay, right. Gozalot, yeah. So if they would bring us this food, no, it's true we're eating, but we're not really eating. That's only in practice. But we would continue eating if they brought us really good food. So therefore, we're still part of the meal. Therefore, we can bench with him. Okay. Milo kachlinim. When do we eat them? Very good. Tamidei derav. The students of Rav have a yatve besuda. They were sitting there in a meal. Al Rav Acha, the Rav Acha came. Amre ataka from Rav the Mavarachlan. Ooh, Rav Acha came. So let's let him bench. He just came at the end. Everybody else had a big meal. He's already, he came, he had a piece of cake. So it's Amar Lehu, he said to them, whoa. Misver to the God of Mavarach. Who says that the most important person should bench? Maybe Ikar Shebesuda Mevarach, the person who ate the most. In other words, the main part of the meal, not somebody who comes for a dessert. You have that sometimes, you make a Sheva Bracha, somebody's making a Sheva Bracha in their house. They have eight men or seven men, nine men. So they want to make, so they invite somebody to come for dessert to make a minion, right? So they give him a piece of cake. So he didn't really eat the meal with them. So you're going to give him to bench? No, he's not really part of the meal. He's like an adjunct to the meal. So that's what he said. Don't give me, even though he's the greatest rabbi, you give it to the person who ate the meal. Misvar to go, Ikar Sudam Mevarach. Hiltucha, and said, no, Gadol Mevarach. The Ozzy should have the most distinguished person lead the benching. Afagav Dat Vasof, even though he came at the end. Okay, we're at the two dots, well, I don't know, 12 lines from the bottom. Achal Demai. So we just, that's when we learned the mission the other night. We said, Demai, what's Demai? Da Mai. Know what? In other words, it's food that we're uncertain if Truman and Masrut were taken from it. So the Mishnah says, you're not 100% sure, we'll put it in our terminology, food is kosher. We think of kosher what the food is, but if the proper tithes aren't taken from the food, you can't eat it. So it's also not kosher. So the Gemara says, so how can you bench on such a guy? You can't bench on non-kosher food, right? I mean, they do that nowadays. That's sometimes, you know, we have a society we never had before. In other words, you never have Jews who would want to bench on non-kosher food. Today, you have lots of Jews. They're making a Jewish wedding. They take Clinton's daughter, right? She got married on Shabbos under a chuppah. The guy's wearing a tallis. It's an intermarriage. But they like Jewish customs because it's beautiful. We live in an egalitarian, open society. And so, of course, they want to dance the Hora, and they probably want to bench. Oh, the food isn't kosher. Who cares? Make Shabra. This really does happen. People want to make Shabrachas. But so here, so the Gemara says, so in theory, you're not supposed to do that. Whether it's different today is an interesting question. But Gemara says, if you make a brach on non-kosher food, it's a curse. So a number of years ago, I forget where I read it, some Israeli, Rav was writing, that maybe today the halacha should change. The same way, in other words, the halacha is that Mechal Shabbos can't get him in, can't count for a minyan, we don't give him at least. We don't follow any of that anymore. Because we, in the time of the Gemara, a person that violated Shabbos was making a statement that he doesn't believe in God. He's an atheist. That's the only reason he didn't keep Shabbos. It's not true at all. Is that we have a different conception of religion. So already 150 years ago, the Binyan said, right, yeah, you're right. So we don't view Mechal Shabbos the same way as we did. So it's the same thing. Today, maybe, that's what he was writing, today, that maybe Jews are very, he doesn't keep kosher yet, but he identifies as a Jew, and maybe you want to teach the person to say a bracha. Even though the Gemara says you're not allowed to say a bracha, but maybe we'll want him to say a bracha, and then eventually he'll start to keep kosher. It's an interesting little bit semi-radical argument, but there is a certain logic to it. That what the reason? But anyways, but the Gemara is asking, Demai, you're not supposed to eat it. You don't know if it's kosher. So how can you include him in the mezumen? So akal lo chazile, he's not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says, well, he is allowed to eat it. You know, if he's allowed to eat it, if you give me all your money, you can eat it, right? If you pay me off, I'll let you eat it. What does that mean? Because the halach is a poor person can eat the mai. We're not sure if the food is kosher or not. It might be. So it's it probably is. Most people did do their tithe, but it may not. So a person who can afford another meal shouldn't eat this food. But the poor people, it's a fascinating halacha. We let the poor people eat this food, then we're not sure if it's kosher. And that halakha carries over in many different contexts. And the Rama has it on every other page when you learn your Yoredeya for smicha. So there comes up a question in Hilchot Kashrut. So the Rama will write, if it's for a poor person, or it's on Friday afternoon, and you can't get other food, so in a sense we're all poor then you can be lenient. And if not, you shouldn't be lenient. That's interesting. So where it says, if he would give away all his money, then he would be poor. And then he could eat it. Means the army. People who are passing through the city, they don't have, even though they have wealth at their house, but they don't have now, so they can eat it. They can eat my. It's very interesting. Even though he doesn't have to become poor, since he could become poor, he can eat it. Okay, so therefore you can count them. So Beit Shammai disagrees, but we don't follow Beit Shammai. We follow Beit Hillel, that poor people can eat tamai, and therefore even a rich person can be counted towards the mezuzah if they're eating tamai. Okay, Masa Rishon Shenit LaTrumata. So we know the basic order when you have food is Bikurim, Truma, Masa Rishon, Masa Sheni. Right, that's the basic order. In other words, the farmer, the first fruit, Bikurim, he's got to set aside, give to the Kohen in Yerushalayim. Then he's got to give 2% or so to Truma. Then he's got to give 9.8%, whatever, that he's got 98% left. 10% of that, Maser Rishon, to the Levi. And then what's left, 10% either, depending on the year, Maser Sheni, Maser Ani. And then the Levi has to take from his Maser Rishon and give 10% to the Kohen. That's called, Trumat Maser. So the Kohen gets from the Yisrael and the Kohen gets from the Levi. And then, as I mentioned, Truma can be only eaten by a Kohen. Maser can be eaten by anybody. I give 10% to the Levi, but he can invite me to eat the food with him. He can give it back to me. Truma, no. Truma's got to be eaten only by a Kohen. So the word says, so Maser Rishon Shenit La Trumato. Maser Rishon, that the Kohen, the Levi gave to the Kohen. So the Gemara says, obviously I can bench, Pshita. It's obvious. Why are you telling me that? Lo tzricha. No, I need it. Ela shekdimu b'shivalim v'shmimenu trumat maser v'loi v'shmimenu truma. The Kohen or the Levi took the food before truma could be taken. He just grabbed the maser before. So truma was never given. And then he gave trumat maser. He gave maser from that. Even though truma was given. V'loi v'shmimenu truma gdola. Truma gdola is the original 2% truma. Ukad Rav Avahu, and this follows the opinion of Rav Avahu. Damar Rav Avahu, Amar Rish Lakish. Maser Rishon shekdimu b'shivalim. If the person took the Masa Rishon and was still in the stocks before he's all to put together in bundles, even though he shouldn't have, he should have waited until the Truma was given. If he took the Masa first, it's Patur Mi Truma Gdola. You don't have to give the Truma anymore. Shenemar Vaharimota Mimenu Trumat Hashem. You should take from it the grains, Trumat Hashem, Aser Mina Maser. So it says Maser. Maser from the Maser, right? In other words, you take the first Maser, give to the Levi, and then the Levi gives from that Maser 10% to the Kohen.
This is the way somebody could get away giving
Truma. I'm sorry?
This is the way somebody could avoid giving
Truma. In theory, I mean, he's not, it's the Levi seemed to have done it without the knowledge of the Israel farmer. It's not that the farmer gave it. Sheikh Dimu, look at the language. Sheikh Dimu, Bishivalim, Vifish Man, True Maser. Maybe he did it himself. No, the way Rashi, Levi Kadamata Kohen, Benatal Maser, Bishivalim, Kodem Shanata Kohen, Trumagdola. Yeah, it's unclear if the farmer gave it to him, but you're right. It's a way to trick out of giving the Truma. Remember, we learned a couple of weeks ago the difference between our generation and the previous generation, the way they used to bring the food into the house so they wouldn't be chayav to give all the Truma. The Masra, I don't know if you were here that day, but the Gemara says you can eat food temporarily before giving in Truma Masra. It's not like you can't eat the food, but once there's a kviut, once the food is ready to be, it's all in piles or Shabbos comes, Shabbat is koveh, then you can't eat it. So the Gemara says people used to do all kinds of tricks so they wouldn't have to give Truma Masra. The Gemara says that they weren't so religious. The early generation, they were more religious. They didn't look for tricks, legal loopholes. So that's a.
Take 10% of my crop, I put it aside, I tell my neighbor, Mr.
Levy.
By the way, there's your master's waiting for you.
So then you don't have to give Truma, right?
He comes and he takes his master and says, oh, shoot, he took the master. I guess I don't have to give Truma.
Correct, that's
He's
correct.
Going to give it out of
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah, right. So, right. You can do it. There are all kinds of things you can do that aren't so nice, but you can get away with it. Yeah. Okay. Let's go on. Truma Hashem, Maser Mina Maser, Martilachavalo Truma Gdolava, Trumat Maser. I don't take the original Truma from Maser. So that's the Chiddush. I can still bench it. I mean, he still counts from a Mezumin, even though the Truma was never taken. That's it wasn't really right, but it works. So that should work even if he took Bikri means even if it's all piled together, ready to be eaten. Bishivali means the food is still out in the field, so it's out in the stock. But Bikri means you've gathered together. At that point, if he can't take Masa before the Truma. But that's the question. Bikri Samarle, no. That you can't do. Alecha Markra. Mikol top of Memva Zaino Bay, Mikol Masro Techem Tarimu. They learn from the pasuk. No, I can't do it. At that point, I can't. It won't work if it just takes the maser. Marita ha'id kam ha'id likom. Why do you interpret like this? So he says because one of them it's all put together. It's nim rachavakri. It's all put together in a pile. It's considered dagan. It's considered completed, and once it's considered completed, Reshit Kancha has to go to the Kohen. He can't take Levi. But before it's completed, if the Levi grabs it first, then you don't have to give Truma. Okay. Maser Sheni Behekdesh Sheniftu. So Maser Sheni, you have to take the approximately 10% to Jerusalem, and you have to eat it there, unless you want to pay a 25% fine, and then they take the value of fruit and spend the money in Yerushalayim. So that Gemara's question, obviously I can bench on Maser Sheni. In other words, that Maser Sheni now becomes regular food. I don't have to eat it in Jerusalem as long as I'm going to spend the money in Jerusalem. So of course I can bench if somebody ate Maser Sheni. Counts for a Muslim. So Gemara said, Pshita, Hachimar's getting kohen shenata in the Karamelona to end at the Chomesh. You know what? He also wasn't so nice. He had $100 worth of fruit for Maser Sheni, so he's supposed to sanctify $125. But he only did $100. I'm not going to pay the $25, service fee. Nonetheless, so that's wrong. Nonetheless, that food still is not Maser Sheni, and it can count, and you can bench in him. Hakamash l'den chomesh makev. If you didn't give the 25%, it doesn't defeat the mitzvah of Maser Sheni. It's not right, again, but it works. If the butler eats an olive, a little piece of food, he can be starved. Gemara says, it's also obvious. Like pshita, no, mad, tamen, what I've thought. Shamash lo kaba. That this shamash doesn't count. He's not a permanent part of it. He never sits down. He's walking around. Maybe you need three people eating together the whole meal. Sort of what we saw before at the end. They come at the end. They weren't sure to include him. And here he was sort of, he was there the whole time, but he was never there the whole time. He was there, so it is good. Bakuti, mizamni malav. So the kutim, again, they were quasi-Jews. We weren't sure if their gayrut was good. Okay, they appear relatively often in the Mishnahs. Hakuti mizamni malav. So you can count the kuti, amai. So Gemara has a funny question in the beginning. He should be like an amaretz. We're going to see what's an amaretz. I don't know what an amaretz is. Amaretz, a person of the land. Betanya ain mizamni malam aretz. Wow, the Gemara didn't like amaretzim. I mean, we use the term amaretz to mean ignorant. Amaretz in the Gemara more often than not, we'll see in a moment, meant a not religious Jew, not so much an ignorant Jew. Most Jews were ignorant. It meant a non pious Jew. Ain mizamni malam aretz. So how can you? Bench. The kuti is going to be no better. That's the assumption of the Gemara. The kuti is no better than an amaretz. So Abai says, we're talking about the kuti chaver. We're talking about, he's an exception. He's a good guy. This kuti can bench. Rava says, no, afilu tema bekuti amaretz. Even if it's an amaretz kuti, he can still bench. He can still count. Bacha b'amaretz de rabbanan. What? There's amaretz and there's an amaretz. What's the definition? Because the rabbis argue on Rav Meir, the Pligel of Rav Meir Askin. We're talking about this Amaretz, who, as the rabbis define it. The Tanya, we learned in a Braita, Ezu Amaretz, who's an Amaretz? So the first one's very funny. Kosheno Achel Chulim B'Tara. Wow. I mean, that's 98% of people. To eat Chulim B'Tara means to eat Chulim. Chulim is regular meat. Regular meat. In a state of purity. There is no halacha that you have to eat regular meat in a state of purity. You have to eat kochim, you have to eat holy meat, sacrificial meat, you have to eat the korban pesach in a state of tahara. Chulin, you can eat when you're tameh. Amaretz, therefore, according to Rameir is a very high standard. And amaretz means a regular person. That's what the words mean. Amaretz, from the land. Normal people don't worry if the chulin is tahara. But if you don't want to be an amaretz, you want to be special. Yeah, and it's everybody's an amaretz. The really special people, they eat chulin b'tahara. But anybody who doesn't eat chulin b'tahara is considered an amaretz. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Chachamim say, no way. Chachamim say, nah, ko sheino maser peirotav karoi. So he's a little bit ignorant and a little bit non-religious. He doesn't give truma umasra. In other words, his food isn't kosher. He didn't properly take the food and care about Tumah Vatara. There's no halacha like that. So that already, I'm not so, then already understand why you don't know if you can eat with him. However, Rava says, Vahani kutai, but the kutim asuri masrin. They did give maser. The amaratzim didn't give maser properly. The kutim did. Kedechazi, demaydichti boraita mizar zahir. So this is the opinion Rava says. Whatever's written in the Torah, the kutim kept. They were like Karaites. They weren't exactly Karaites, but they kept they kept the written law. Damar mar, kol mitzvah sheichziku b'kutim arbe medakdim yoter meyisrael. This is a common thing. It's like you have it by converts. Whatever mitzvah the kutim did, they did better than the regular Jews. You see that's, you know, by converts sometimes. They're more meticulous in their observance than the regular Jews. You know, they're new to it, they're more excited. So whatever, the kutim were, they picked and choose. They didn't choose all the mitzvot, but the ones they choose, they did properly. And they did maisrat properly, so therefore you can count them for as zimun. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, once you're talking about amaratzim, so now we're going to describe what's an amaratz. So you'll see different opinions. Ezu amaratz. Kosheno kore kriyat shma arvi v'shachrit. An amaratz means he's, that's the basics of Judaism, to accept God, Kriyat Shema. That's the first three chapters in Masechet Brachot, to say Kriyat Shema morning and evening. So a guy who doesn't even say Kriyat Shema, the most basic mitzvah there is, to say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, he's an Amaretz. It means he's like a non-refined Jew, a non-observant Jew. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Kol Sheino Menech Tefillin. It's a similar idea, but not so much on Shema. Maybe that's a higher level. In other words, it's easier than Shema, but he doesn't put on tefillin. The person who doesn't put on tefillin is Amaretz. Ben Azayimer kol shein bo tzitzit bevigdo. He doesn't wear tzitzis. That doesn't mean today he doesn't wear tzitzis. Today you don't have to wear tzitzis. We discussed that the other day. It means he has a four-cornered garment without tzitzis on it. Doesn't mean like, we today have to go the other way. It means he doesn't, he's not careful to wear tzitzis. Rav Natan omer kol shein mezuzah al pitcho. That's a real low life. See, today that's like what we would consider the lowest of Jews. Many Jews today don't say Kriyat Shema, don't say, don't put on tefillin, and don't wear tzitzis. But they all have a mezuzah on. The Jew who doesn't have a mezuzah, I mean, in our time, maybe in other times in history, it wasn't like that. A Jew today who doesn't have a mezuzah on the door, he's really have mercy. But no?
Yeah, although sometimes the ones who are knowledgeable, the Amei Haaretz, they forget to put those Hebrew instructions inside the box.
Yes, I didn't say the mezuzah is kosher, right? That is true. That is true. The mezuzahs aren't the... yeah, still, it's I know it may not be halachically valid, but even having a pasul mezuzah, I think, is better than having nothing. They're identifying as a Jew, even if they're not doing it halachically, and it's amaratzut. It's what we call amaratzut. It's ignorance. If people have an ongoing, they just don't know. Often, it's unscrupulous salespeople. Okay, from Natan Bar Yosef Omer. Now we're getting into more serious stuff. Now we're talking, he's already an observant Jew, but he still might be an Amaretz. The Talmud Torah. So what exactly does that mean? He doesn't raise them for Talmud Torah. Does that mean he doesn't give them a Jewish education? Or he doesn't want them to be Talmidei Chachamim? He's not teaching, he's not educating his children enough. That's already very interesting. Acherim Omrim, Afilu Kara Vishana. Wow, this is the, even if he learned, Kara always in the Quran means he knows the Torah Shemichtav. He knows Tanakh, he won the Chidon HaTanakh. The Shana, the Shanot is the Mishnah. He knows the Sisi, the Mishnah Baal Peh, he knows all of Tanakh Baal Peh. But he lo shimesh Talmidei Chachamim, but he didn't serve Torah scholars. He doesn't go pick them up at the airport, he doesn't help them. You know, we had earlier in Brachot, Gadol Shimusha Yoter Min Limuda. The service, the Torah scholar, is greater than learning from him. The shmooze with him, to help him, that's a greater mitzvah than learning. So somebody who's learning but didn't service a Talmud Chacham, that's an Amaretz. It means he doesn't understand the basics. What's important about a Talmud Chacham is not an extra Tosfot in Baba Kama. It's to help him when he needs help to service him. Very interesting. Amarav Huna, Halacha Kachemim. That's the definition of Amaretz. So that makes lots of people Amaretzim. Even if you're totally not, in other words, it's not about knowledge at all, but you see, these definitions are basically about religious feelings. Not the way we today use the term Amaretz to mean he's an ignorant Jew. But that's not, presumably many of these Jews were ignorant, but the what makes you an Amaretz was not knowledge. It was attitude towards mitzvot. Okay. Rami Barchama, Lo Asmin Allah to Rav Menashe Bar Techlibus. So this is very interesting, right? We said now an Amaretz you can't bench with, right? That was why we got into this mark. The Kuti's like Amaretz. So Rami Bar Chama refused to bench include Rav Menashe Bar Techlifa. That's amazing. Like one rabbi, it's like, can you imagine? I don't, the rabbi in this shul, he comes here, he doesn't count for a mezuman. He's not one of us. Right, that's what it says. Rabbi Yochanan lo azmin the Rav Menashe. The Tani Sifra v'Sifra v'Yichda. Rav Menashe v'Menashe. He knew the Midrashim, Sifra, Sifre, Hilchata. He knew it all, but he still wouldn't count them. Why? He nach nafshe the Rami Barchama. When Rami Barchama died, Amar Rava. You know why he died? Lo nach nafshe the Rami Barchama the lo azmin the Rav Menashe bar Tachlif, because he showed such disrespect to this rabbi. Again, he doesn't really know why he died, but it's the Gemara's way of getting across the point. He showed such disrespect to the rabbi by not including him in the benching. He was worthy to die. That was, he made a mistake. Now, why didn't he? But Tanya came Romi Yepilu Karoshana Veloshimesh Tomin Chami Oriza Amaretz. So the Gemara's assumption is that Rav Menashe Bar Techlifa wasn't Meshamesh Tomin Chami. He didn't service him. So Rami Bar Chama was correct for not including him. So why could Rabbi say he died because he didn't service him? Shani Rav Menashe Bar Techlifa, Mashmul Rabbanan. No, so the Gemara says, no. He did serve the rabbis, but he did it quietly. Rami Bar Chama, who delo dakabatri. Rami Bar Chama didn't check. He heard a rumor. A rumor about the rabbi. He's not a nice guy. He believed the rumor right away. So he never benched. He should have checked out the rumor. You can't believe everything people say about rabbis. You can't believe what they say about anything. So especially about other people. So therefore, he made a mistake. You know, he thought he wasn't Mishar. It's a wild Gemara. It's so wild. Lishna Achrina, right? The Shama Shamata Mipumayu de Rabbanan, the Garis Lukitsurim Rabbanan. He heard words of Torah from the rabbis. I think he's saying like this. Anybody who says words of Torah already counts not as an Amaretz. Surim Rabbanan. I think that's what he's like a budding Torah scholar. In other words, he made a mistake, and Rav Menashe Bar Techlifa taught Torah. He was Meshamesh Tamichamim, and that's why he died. He didn't include him in. We today are not like, I mean, we include anybody in Brechanim or something, even people who can't read Hebrew sometimes, you know, like, we've had this occasionally, once in a while, you have a guest at your house, really knows very little, and he's the third, like, person to say, you know, answer in the transliterated Hebrew, you know, I was supposed to say it together with you, Yeshmei, or Yeshem Hashem, or Rechmei, no, I don't know.
It's like counting for me, you know.
Sorry? We do that very often. Yeah, we haul a guy off. You know, they do that at the Kotel, that they put a keep on the guy. Answer, amen. Okay.
And the problem is, if you don't count a person who isn't really familiar with it, that person might say, "Why didn't you start?"
No, of course. I listen. These are not halachas. You have to be very sensitive. Obviously, in the modern system, that's what we said before. Maybe even you can make a bracha on non-kosher food today. Maybe. For like a non-observant Jew, you want to obviously have to know the society in which you're applying these mitzvot. In the time of the Gemara, this is a fascinating. I find the discussion kind of fascinating. Okay, achal tevel umaser rishon. Now we're going to the reverse thing. The times you're not allowed to bench. So the Gemara says you ate tevel. Tevel means tovlo, food that you didn't take maserot from. So the Gemara said that's obvious. Obviously, you can't bench. Tevel pshita lo tzricha betevel tevel mivan. It's only rabbinically. Only have to give truma rabbinically. What is something you have to give truma rabbinically? Heichidami bat si cheino naku. If it grows in a pot that doesn't have a hole in it, you have a plant in your living room. Lots of people have plants in the living room. Grows. So that you have to give truma to masrat mid the rabbanan because it's not it's you know they took earth. It's formerly earth, but the earth is not connected to the ground. So therefore, that's only chayiv and truma derabanan. So even though it's on a Torah level, the food is kosher, since rabbinically, since he should have given truma rabbinically, you can't count him towards a mezuman. Okay, maser rishon, the same thing now in reverse, that they didn't take truma. Pshita, it's obvious. Not so obvious. Kagon shik dimu b'kri, like the question we had before, maybe the Levi took it, but the Levi took it when it was already put into pile. So that... The same as Rav Papa thought maybe it's okay in the cream. We said no. Kamash Malan, Kiddushani Le. No, no, no. Once it's put in piles, you have to give truma first. Otherwise, you can't eat it. Maser Sheni Shaloni Fdu. If you just eat Maser Sheni food that should be eaten in Yerushalayim and you didn't put any money, you didn't transfer money, you can't bench. So again, the Gemara says that's obvious. Pshita Lo Tzricha Shenifdu Velo Nifdu Kilchatam. You redeemed it, but improperly. Maser Sheni Kagon, they don't have this anymore, but do you remember the olden days? Shepadu Agibe Asimon. Remember an Asimon in Israel?
Yes.
How you make a phone call?
Yes.
Right. So an Asimon in the and probably I'm sure where they got the term from the Gemara. An Asimon means a coin without the picture of Queen Elizabeth on it, without a image on it, right? All our coins have, you know, images on them. We don't just, right? I don't know what a U.S. coin has, whether they have. What do our coins have? Our coins have Queen Elizabeth, no? Right.
George Washington on the corner.
Yeah, no, that's, okay. So an Asimon with no thing, you can't be, that's not money. If it doesn't have an image of somebody, it's not money. The Verachmana Mar, Vitzarta HaKesef, a Tzura, has to have an art form. Vitzarta HaKesef Yedecha, Kesef Sheisha Love, it's very interesting. Like back then, they were minting money. Like same way, if the money doesn't have a tzura, it's not money to be po the maser sheni. Hekdesh shechalu al gabe karkor. You transferred the hekdesh the on karkor velo pado bekesef. Rachman amar, but not then hakesef. You can only transfer it. You can't transfer it to another object. You have to transfer the kusha to money. Okay. Vashama shachal pachot mikasayit. Are we also not getting a minion this evening? We'll see. Shama shachal pachon mikasai pshita So you're right, it's obvious. Yeah, you're right, it is obvious. I do the Tana Resha Kazai. Since we learned if he ate a Kazai, you can bench. So we just learned there's a stylistic thing. Tana Sefer Pachomim Yisrael, you can't bench. Vanoch Riyem Mezamnim Alav, can't bench on a non-Jew. Where it says that's pretty obvious. See, the Kuti, they're all close. The Kuti, you know, Noch Riyem Mezamnim Alav. Pshita, Hakimat Yina Ger Shemal Velo Taval. It was, you had a semi-conversion. The person had a brit milah, but he didn't go to mikvah. Damar of Zeir, Amar of Yochanan, long leinom eno ger, achimol, v'yitvol. In order to become a Jew, you have to go to mikvah. Going to having a brit milah isn't enough. V'kama delo taval nochri. You see, we consider that they're so obvious. I think every Jew knows that. You have to go to mikvah to become Jewish. But apparently there was a feeling. They thought maybe, he's already partially, he'll go to mikvah next week, big deal. But I can bench on him. He already had a brit milah. Okay. We said that women, say they can bench on their own, but they can't be mitzvah with, males and females. Amar of Yossi, katana musa barisa mizamnimah. This is wild. So Rav Yossi, obviously, he disagreed with this. He said, a child who's in his crib, a 10-month-old baby, Mizamnim alav, he can be number three. Doesn't have to answer. As long as there are three people that are eating, it's good enough. Wild. But none, what are you talking about? We learn, Nashim v'abagdim uktanim, ein mizamnim alav. Who the Kumar Rav Yeshua ben Levi? Now he follows the opinion of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Dama Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Afal pi shamru katana mutabar sa'em izamnilav. Even though it's true, the baby in the carriage, you can't bench on him. Avin osi noto snif la sara. He can count, you know where the idea, you know, nine people and the tenth kid, you get, this is the Gemara, this is our Gemara. So he can be a sniff. He can be like a branch to the tenth. Okay, yeah, 9, 10. Who's counting? I as a kid. Okay, that's good enough. Vamar Yeshua ben Levi, Yeshua Tisha ve'Evan meets Darfim. 9 and the 10th person can even be a slave. Means a non-Jewish slave, an Evaknani. I'm assuming that's what it means, right? If Evaknani, there was a 10th person. You just need a body, whether it's a 10-month-old baby, a non-Jew. It doesn't matter. That's what Rabbi Shua ben Levi says. I'm going to make faith. The word says, what are you talking about? That can't be. Massive Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer came to Shul one day, and there was no minion. Nothing new under the sun. The lo matzah asara, like here. So what did he do? What did Rabbi Eliezer do? He didn't have a minion. So they didn't have WhatsApp. He didn't have a phone. He didn't know what to do. But he came to Shul with his slave, his servant. He was non-Jewish. B'shichrer avado, he freed a slave. Because the halach is a freed Evaknani becomes a Jew, without getting into all the details. And Evaknani can be, that's the Gemara says, a way someone involved to be Matara Mamzer, whatever, that's for other times. So he freed his slave. So you see, a slave on his own will not count for a minion. But a free slave, in other words, he said for the 10th person, Bishlim olach asara, he shichrer, because he freed a mean, lo shichrer lo. So Gemara says, no, amazing trades to Rechulahu. Really, there were 8 people in Shul. They needed 2 people to make the minion. So shichrer chad, so he had 2 slaves. So one of the slaves he made free, and the second slave, he kept the slave and he counted for the minion. It's wild. It's hard to, in other words, the story gets determined by the halacha, not by, you know what I'm saying? In other words, they must be, he did that. Otherwise, the story wouldn't make sense, right? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? How could Rabbi Eliezer do such a thing? Rabbi Yehuda, call him a shachar avdo over, but say, you're not allowed to free your non-Jewish slave. We won't get into it. Parshat Mishpatim this week, Elam Mishpatim, ki digneh eved ivri, shei shanim tavor, v'ashvi, eved ivri. I know it doesn't sound so nice, you know, but la'olam bahem tavodu. That quote the pasuk, he should work for you forever. Now you have to treat him, you know, properly, right? I know it sounds. I don't know what we don't have slaves today. I even non-Jewish slaves. I don't know, but yeah, I hope not. But la'olam bahem tavodu. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says depends why you're litvar mitzvah shani. No, I can free my slave for a dvar mitzvah. In other words, he serves me. Right now, what's his service? I need him for a minion. So I'm going to free him. That's amazing.
That trumps all the conversion and the
right, right. So how does the Evek Nani become Jewish? Doesn't he have to? He has to go. What process? So right, that's not in there. I don't remember all the details. But right, that's the Gemara. Right, but you see, that's so because these stories again are not meant necessarily literally. They're meant to teach points. I mean, I'm not saying this. Obviously, the Gemara presents a story as if it actually happened. Like. Some story along this alphabet, but the really the Gemara is what's discussing what makes a minion. Can you count non-Jews towards a minion? Can the 10th person, can you count the baby, can you count the non-Jew? When can you free a slave? Whether it's true that Rabbi Elazar freed him at 6:20 when it came to Shul and there was well, a person was waiting to say Kaddish by Rabbi Shmolimer, they probably didn't say Rabbi Shmolimer. Rabbi Elazar, his contemporary, right? Whatever. So I don't know if that's what happened. I don't care if that's what happened. I don't think the Gemara cares. It's just the idea. So the Gemara says, "Nu for mitzvah. It's a mitzvah bavera. He sinned by freeing. It's an amazing Gemara. He sinned by doing this. No, it's okay. Mitzvah to Rabbi Mshani." For the people, for the masses, you can do it in a favor. Like Rav Tavori spoke a few weeks ago. The Israeli agent can commit adultery because for the pikuach nefesh of the state of Israel, it's not normal. The laws are different when you're dealing with the country. So normally you're not allowed to free the servant even for a dvar mitzvah, for the mitzvah, for everybody, meaning a minion, the ravim, then it would be okay. All right, maybe we should...